If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, I'll start by apologizing this morning. I had charts made up for the lesson, and as I was going to load them up on the tablet to be able to show them on the screen, I realized that I did not save the PowerPoint file on the flash drive to transfer over to the tablet. So we are going to preach the old-fashioned way without charts. So I know those can be a useful aid, and that's why I continue to make those, but we can still profit from the study of the Scriptures together as we study the lesson this morning. In Acts chapter 17, we have Paul in Athens, and he is addressing the people who are gathered at Mars Hill, teaching them about this God who to them, in verse 23, was an unknown God. They had all these idols and all these different gods that they worshiped, but they wanted to make sure they didn't leave one out they didn't know about yet. So they have an altar to an unknown God. And Paul says, well, the one that you don't know, this is the one I need to tell you about. And so he goes and teaches them about this unknown God. And in this lesson, he explained what God was declaring to them. And that's what we're talking about this morning. What God was declaring to them, what he is declaring to us and to all men. And that's found in verses 30 and 31 of this chapter, in Acts chapter 17, where he says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. We're going to talk about these verses here this morning, and what Paul says that God is declaring to all men. The first thing he says here, that he's declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. That is the first thing he says here. This is what God's declaration is, that you are to repent. And we think about repentance and what repentance is. That is a change of mind that produces a change in behavior or a change in action. It's not just, well, think differently on something. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's changing our thinking that leads to a change in behavior and how we conduct ourselves. Biblically, what repentance is turning from our sin to turn to follow God and to do His will. And the reason why Paul says here that God is declaring to all men everywhere to repent is because all of us are in need of repentance. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans 3 and verse 23 says. All of us are in that condition. Ecclesiastes 9 or 7 and verse 29 talks about how God made men upright, but then we have sought out many devices. You have a lot of people in the religious world who think that man is born completely depraved and corrupt and in sin. The Bible says that God has made us upright, but we are the ones who have sought out various devices and schemes and sins and things that are contrary to the will of God. We have done that. So God is declaring to all men everywhere that we should repent. And the reason why he's called us to repent, we can see over in 2 Peter chapter 3, is that there is a punishment that comes if we don't repent, if we don't turn to God. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to repent. And the reason why he's doing this is because he doesn't want us to perish. He's being patient. He wants us to come to him, but we have to make that decision to come to him. And if you look over in Luke's account of the Great Commission, a lot of times when we cite the Great Commission, we look at Matthew's account of it or Mark's account of the Great Commission. But if we look at Luke's account of the Great Commission, we see that this call to repentance, again, is for everyone. It's not just for a certain group of people. But Jesus, as he's giving the commission to his apostles, and they were to, as you remember from the other passages that explained the Great Commission, that it was they were to go into all the world, they would make disciples of every nation. In preaching this gospel, Luke 24:47, they were to preach that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. All people everywhere should repent. God is calling them to repent. This is part of this commission. Part of what it means to become a disciple of Christ is that we turn from our sin and turn to God. And you go back to Acts chapter 17, that passage that we started at, where God is declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent. Notice what he says right before that. Having overlooked the times of ignorance. God is calling people to repent, and he's given the gospel that is to go into all the world to preach this message of repentance, to turn to God, to become one of his disciples, be baptized into Christ. God is overlooking the time of ignorance. We cannot claim that, well, we didn't know about this, or others can't say, well, we just didn't know about this. We can't claim that anymore. Paul is saying all the way back in the first century, preaching to a bunch of philosophers who probably had never heard anything about what he had said before. God has overlooked the times of ignorance, but now he's declaring to all men everywhere that they need to repent. Regardless of our background, whatever culture that we are brought up in, whatever language we speak, however our parents raised us, that whatever factors we want to include in there, none of those change what this verse says. God is now declaring to all people everywhere that they should repent. So this is the call for all of us, that we need to follow God. We turn from living as we decide we want to live, or as the world is telling us that you should live this way. We're turning from that, and now we are turning to follow God in whatever it is that he has told us to do, whatever he has instructed. Well, why are we to do that? Well, it gets to the next point in Acts chapter 17. He has declared that all people everywhere should repent because, verse 31, why is he declaring that we should repent? Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. God is going to judge the world. That is why we repent. This judgment and this event here, this judgment that Paul is talking about, this is something that is a certainty. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 9, this is something that is just as certain as our eventual death as we would pass from this life. Just as certain as that is. And everyone recognizes that. Everyone realizes that death is a certainty. Well, the Hebrew writer says there's something else that is certain. And Paul, as he's talking to the philosophers on Mars Hill, he says this is certain, that God is going to judge the world. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes the judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin for those who eagerly await him. That there is now, we all face death. That is a certainty for all of us. But the Hebrew writer says here that there is, after this, there is judgment. And as we know, Christ came the first time and offered himself on the cross, made a sacrifice for sins. He's not going to do that when he comes again. He's not going to make another sacrifice for sin. But instead, he's appearing for the salvation of those who are eagerly awaiting him. For those who have turned from their sin, those who have repented and are now following him, he's coming to save them. God is saying he will judge the world. This is why we repent. And when God says something, then we recognize that that is something that is true. That is something that is going to take place. It will happen. Over in Numbers chapter 23, it talks about the certainty of God's promises. When he says he will do something, how sure that is. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not like we are. We might say that I'm going to do this and then we don't do it. Could be because we never intended to do it in the first place, and so we were just saying that, well, yeah, I'll do this, but we didn't really, we weren't going to do that in the first place. Or we could say, I'll do this, but things come up that are outside of our control and we can't do this. Or we'll say we'll do something, we commit to it, but then we forget about the commitment that we made, and so we fail to do it. God is not like man. He's not changing his mind. He's not lying about what he said he would do. There's nothing outside of his control that will prevent him from doing what he said he would do. When he says something, he will do it. And when God says, when God is declaring that he will judge the world, and the Hebrew writer says it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes the judgment, that is certain. And that judgment, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is going to be based upon what we have done in this life. God is going to hold us accountable for how we have conducted ourselves here. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, all of us, we've talked about, all of us have sinned. So we've all done things that are bad. But we need to understand what this means in light of the context of what we've been talking about in this lesson and what the scriptures teach as a whole. We're going to be judged based upon what we have done. We know we've all sinned, but God is calling us to repentance. He's calling us to leave that behind and follow him. When we do that, he will forgive us. We studied in Acts chapter 2 in our Acts study where the people on the day of Pentecost asked, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," that you can have fellowship with God by being forgiven of your sins. You can be judged by Christ according to what you've done that is good. But you'll be judged based upon your deeds in the body. This is why he says you are to repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to follow God. God will judge the world. But back in Acts chapter 17, Paul said something else about this judgment of the world. And this is all part of what God is declaring to all people everywhere. He says that they should repent. He says God has judged the world, but he says something about that day and when that day will be. He says in verse 31, "He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world." That day has already been determined. Whenever that day is, God has already determined when that day will be. And this is important to remember because there are a lot of people, whether people in the media or people in government and people who are trying to offer all of these doomsday scenarios that we need to worry about, you know, the life on Earth ending because of global warming or because of some, you know, nuclear war or some asteroid might hit the Earth or something to that nature and just completely obliterate life on Earth. When the Lord comes in judgment, there will be people here on the Earth. Now, there could be nuclear wars or some catastrophe that happens that alters life on Earth and makes it a lot worse than it is now, as far as, you know, you may have people that it's difficult for people to survive and all that. That can happen, but it's not going to end life on Earth. There will be people here when the Lord returns in judgment. And no, there are no circumstances that we can put in place that man can do, or that we might have something happen that alters when God says this day is going to be. God has already determined when this day is. And again, that passage in Numbers 23 that we read from, God has said, well, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. There's nothing outside of his control that he didn't factor in, or that he can't work and make sure that he's going to, that these things are not going to affect what he planned to do. That day is fixed. He has determined when that day is. But if you look over in Matthew chapter 24, it's understandable why people are, as they look ahead to this judgment, why they would want to pinpoint when that day is. Why they would want to know when that day of judgment is going to be. Because then we could more urgently convince people that they need to follow Christ, that they need to believe on Him and do all this. Now, of course, they usually have a different idea of the plan of salvation than what the Bible teaches. But they think, well, if we would just know, then we could double our efforts and make sure that we are reaching as many people as we can right before the end. And you have a lot of people making predictions and say, well, this is when the day is going to be, and or this is when the world is going to end. Well, this is when Jesus is going to return. All these predictions have been made, and all of those days pass, and all of them happen, and life goes on, and the world is still here. Jesus hasn't returned yet. Just a couple days ago, saw someone post on Facebook a picture of a car that they saw back in 2011 that had in big letters on the back windshield of the car said Jesus is coming or something to that effect, but it had the date of May 21st, 2011. That's when Jesus was coming, according to this group. They had figured out when Jesus supposedly was going to come back. It was May 21st, 2011. Well, we're past that. And you still have pictures of that car on the internet of them saying that, well, this is when Jesus is going to come back. People make predictions all the time, but Jesus says, regarding that day in Matthew 24, verse 36, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. We are not going to be able to put together certain clues and say, well, okay, if we have what this passage says, or we see these signs, and these things are happening, then it must mean that this is when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows when that will be. And all of these predictions that have been made, all those have failed. The people who make those predictions are false prophets. They are not speaking for God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 22 talks about those who make a prophecy, but it doesn't come to pass. Do not fear them. They don't speak for God. Those ones who make those predictions are not speaking, as 4:11 says, speaking as the oracles of God. That's not what they're doing. God has determined when this day will be, but we don't know when this day will be. So we need to be ready at all times for whenever this day comes. And then Paul says in Acts 17 about this day of judgment. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world. He says he will judge in righteousness. He will judge the world in righteousness. We can see examples, and we can hear them in the news or hear them from people that we know, of courts and judges who hand down judgments or make rulings that are not just, that are unjust, that fail to carry out the law or to uphold the law, fail to defend those who have been wronged, or maybe convict people who are innocent but convict them of some crime, and so they end up being punished for that crime even though they did nothing wrong. You have that happen. Judges are human beings. They sometimes can make mistakes. Sometimes they will be lacking evidence that would help them make the proper judgment in a certain case. Sometimes you have judges who are bribed and who are persuaded that way to come to a certain ruling. Sometimes you have judgments that are made. Daniel chapter 6, you have when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and Darius didn't want that to happen to him, Darius the king, but he was bound by an unjust law, and so that judgment was made even though the king didn't want that to happen. Sometimes those happen. You have evil laws that cause something to be done a certain way. In human courts, with human laws, judgment or justice is not always carried out. A lot of times it may be, but there are times where it simply isn't. Where innocent people are punished, Those who are guilty are not punished. Judgments that are made that are improper. God's judgments, though, God will judge in righteousness. He always judges in righteousness. Psalm 19, in verse 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." God, when He judges, and this will be true in the final judgment, God has fixed the day in which He will judge the world. He will do it in righteousness. He's not going to make a mistake. He's not going to be missing some crucial piece of information that we obeyed the gospel, but God was just unaware that we obeyed the gospel, and so we're out of luck. That's not going to happen. Or we have obeyed the gospel, we've served God, but we fell away, but then we repented and we served God again, but He never realized we repented. That's not going to happen. God is going to judge perfectly and judge in righteousness. But unfortunately, what is going to happen, if you look over in Matthew chapter 7, is that when God judges in righteousness, there will be a lot of people who will be surprised at the judgment, who thought that they were ready for that day, but they weren't ready. They weren't prepared for that. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This was one of His righteous judgments. He knew what they had done. He knew they were not doing the will of the Father. And even though they were saying, "Well, Lord, we've done this and we've done that in your name," they were not obeying the Lord. They were not following Him. They were practicing lawlessness, or that which was contrary to the law of God, or had no authority in the law of God. And so they were lost. They were condemned. They were told to depart from Him. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. But some people are going to be surprised by that. We don't want to be among that group that are surprised at the day of judgment. And then in Acts chapter 17, about this day of judgment, He says, "The day is fixed. He will judge the world, judge in righteousness." And He says, "It will be through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." That is Jesus Christ. He is going to judge the world through Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the verse that we read earlier, said that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus talked about this over in John chapter 5, that the Father has given Him the role of judging, of judgment and passing judgment on those who would stand before Him. John 5 and verse 25 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father of life has life in Himself, even so He gave to His Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man." We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He alone has the authority to make those judgments and to decide whether we are saved or whether we are lost. And again, we talked about in Matthew chapter 7, how there are going to be people surprised at that day. But over in John chapter 12, there's no need for us to be surprised, because He is telling us what we're going to be judged by, what that standard is. John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day." We can know what God expects of us. We can know what we need to do to please Him and how to be ready for that day of judgment, because He's given us His word. That's why God is declaring to all people everywhere to repent. And that message of repentance was to start in Jerusalem, as Luke's account of the Great Commission says. But that message of repentance, that gospel, was to be preached in all creation, be preached to all men, and they were to be taught, Matthew's account of the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, taught to observe all that the Lord has commanded. Jesus, as Hebrews 5 verse 9 says, is the author of salvation to those who obey Him. We obey Christ, we can be saved by Christ. Judgment is fixed. That day is fixed. God will judge the world in righteousness and will be through Jesus Christ. He is going to be the one who passes down that judgment. And we need to make sure that we are following Him, obeying Him, so that we can be saved by Him in the end. But then the final point, Acts chapter 17. It says He's calling all people to repent. He's fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, referring to Jesus, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. The proof that we are to follow Christ, that we are to obey Him, and that He can judge us, was given in the resurrection from the dead. And today is Easter Sunday. A lot of people are focusing on the resurrection. And it's certainly good that people want to think about the resurrection. That's something we need to think about not once a year, but throughout the year. But unfortunately, what happens a lot of times when people focus so much on the resurrection and they make one day about the resurrection, they forget what the resurrection is telling us, what the resurrection is declaring, what Paul says here. The resurrection is proof of something. What is the resurrection? What does that prove? It proves that we need to repent. It proves that God is going to judge us, that God is going to hold us accountable, that we do have to make preparations for life after this life, because we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus was raised from the dead. And that passage that was read for us in 1 Corinthians 15 before the lesson in the scripture reading, it talks about how Jesus was raised from the dead. He was the first fruits of those who fell asleep, which means that He was the first and others would follow after Him. That in Christ all will be made alive, as verse 22 says, that we can have life in Christ. And the resurrection proves that we can have life in Christ. But the resurrection also shows us that we need to be preparing for this day, not just so we can have life, but so we can avoid the punishment that comes if we don't repent. He is declaring all people everywhere to repent because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. The resurrection occurred. Jesus was raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 4 through 8 talk about hundreds of eyewitnesses to this event. That Jesus was crucified and then He was alive after that. Hundreds of eyewitnesses prove that He was raised from the dead. The apostles and the change, such a sharp change in their behavior, when they were cowering in fear after Jesus was crucified because they didn't want to be found out. They were in an inner room and had the door shut. They didn't want anyone to find them. And then in Acts chapter 2, boldly standing before the entire city and anyone who was present, saying that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and even willing to suffer and die because they would not change their story, every single one of them. Never changed their story, never said, no, we just made it up, no, it really didn't happen, in order to avoid persecution. All of them suffered. Most of them were killed for their preaching. John was the only one who wasn't, but he suffered. He was persecuted severely despite that. None of them changed their story. The resurrection is as certain as any other historical fact that has happened. Jesus was raised from the dead, and that proves that we need to be ready for this judgment. So over in Romans 1 and verse 4, Paul talks about what the resurrection proves about Jesus. Romans 1 and verse 4, that he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. The resurrection proved who he was, that he was the Son of God. So what then are we to do? Verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? So we could have hope of life after this life. But what do we need to do in order to receive that? Paul says that we've received apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. That's how we prepare for this day. It's the obedience of faith. Not just believing that Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. A lot of people believe that. But there's more to it than that. It's not just believing this. It's the obedience of faith. Obeying the gospel. Obeying what he says. Repenting and turning from our sins and turning to follow him. And again, as we've been studying the book of Acts in our Bible class, consistently, what does that mean in the book of Acts when they obeyed the gospel? What is that obedience of faith? They repented of their sins. They were baptized into Christ. They had their sins washed away. God added them to the church. And they continued serving him and worshiping him and obeying him from that point forward. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who was raised from the dead. He is the Son of God. And the resurrection proved that. So now we need to follow him. And as Paul said here in Acts chapter 17, this is what God is declaring to all people everywhere. That there is a day of judgment that's coming. God is going to judge the world in righteousness. We don't know when that day is. But we do know that it's coming. And so we need to prepare for it. How do we prepare? God is declaring to all people, to all men, that all people everywhere should repent. Turn to God, turn from sin, follow God in whatever he has said, which, again, as we've talked about, that includes putting on Christ in baptism, as they did in Acts chapter 2. They told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That message is still relevant, is still applicable and needed today. God is declaring to all people everywhere to repent because there is a day of judgment coming. And the resurrection proves that not only we can have hope, but we need to be preparing for this day. So as we close the lesson and extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent, to turn from sin, to give your life over to him, confess your faith, you can be baptized to have your sins washed away, and we can help you do that today. If you have done that and have fallen away, then you need to make correction in your life so that you can be ready for this final day of judgment, whenever that day comes. So if you're a Christian who has sin in your life, you need to repent of that and pray to God and ask him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.